Now, back to Whateley.
Former England coach Peter Moores has been appointed to lead the Melbourne Stars. Peter, welcome to SEN, and more broadly, welcome to the Melbourne sporting landscape.
Thanks, Jared. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, buzzing, actually. Really excited about the challenge of going to the Stars and getting stuck in and see if we can make an impact.
Sporting capital of the world. Have you had much of a connection to our city before?
Well, lots of players and lots of people from Melbourne and from Victoria have been coming over. Quite a lot of our players have been over there. I've been there a couple of times with England. But the thought of being there for a couple of months and really getting embedded into this culture of Melbourne and the sport and the Stars is really exciting and getting a real feel for Aussie Big Bash cricket.
Yeah, it'll be a big experience, I can promise you that. You'll love it. What was it about the prospect of the Melbourne Stars job that appealed to you?
Lots of things, I think. I mean, it's a great reputation. I think Melbourne is a place to play in the Big Bash, but the Stars themselves, you can feel they want to play a style of cricket that hasn't really happened over the last few seasons. What a venue, the MCG, and what a prospect to try and start to build a team that can go and really compete for the Big Bash. So all the things are there for any coach, I think, to want to get involved in some great players. You know, people like, you know, you've got your big names, your Glenn Maxwells, your Marcus Stoinises. But, you know, the thought of being part of that and being able to try and build something along with those players is a really exciting prospect, I think, for anybody.
How much of the history of the team do you know, Peter? It has always been studded with stars, as its name would suggest, but it's been elusive, the ultimate success for them.
Yeah, it has, yeah. I mean, like most things, I follow the Big Bash. We all do in England who follow cricket. And, you know, I think, obviously, Steve Fleming starting off and doing what looked like a great job over there, but getting very close and not quite getting over the line. So that carrot is still there, isn't it, to try and be part of something the first time they get over the line. But there's some work to be done. I don't think anybody is going to hide from that. We've got to do some work to play some better cricket and find a style of cricket that fits. 2020 cricket's moved a lot, hasn't it? You know, from just being getting good players on the park, you've got to be a good team. Now you've got to work hard for each other. I think you've seen that with the success the Scorchers have had over the last few seasons, how they've gone about it.
Glenn Maxwell, he's the linchpin of the team. What are your impressions of Maxwell? Have you come across him? Have you worked with him at all?
I haven't worked with him. He's certainly played in our blast over here. He's a box office player. It's fantastic to watch him play, you know, because he is that, in many ways, that T20 player that, you know, bats in a way that you want to watch and you want to be, you know, because not only his ability to strike the ball, but I think tactically reads the game so well, can impact it with the ball as well, and obviously an outstanding fielder. So players like that can inspire others to really start to move their own game forward. So he certainly played over at Lancashire, somewhere I've coached before, so I know they loved him over there. He's back over again this summer, I think, with Warwickshire. Yeah, so it'll be a good chance for me when he comes over here, hopefully, to catch up with him in person when he's over here, because obviously he's a key player for the Stars.
Peter, I'm not sure that the rules have even been formally established yet for the next season, but how much work is to be done on the roster in your mind? How active will you be with the team, or I guess almost immediately?
Yeah, well, obviously there's been some work being done already. I mean, like also, I think the local list you create, I think, in any of the franchise tournaments, certainly it would appear to me the same as the Big Bash, is really important, that it's got to have a good balance to it. You know, you've got to have decent depth in that list. You've got to have good attacking options with the ball, I think, that can attack in different phases of the game. And you need to be able to attack the boundary, because we know the things that work in T20 cricket. Doing them is not always easy, but you need aggressive players. You need to want to get out there. You've got to be able to relax. Obviously, a big venue in front of a good crowd. You've got to be able to get out there and show your stuff and play your game. So I think you build that list not just in 1 year. You try and build it over a few seasons to get to form a team that starts to, one, be able to handle different situations that T20 throws up, but also has got some good depth in it to cover injuries or player call-ups, whatever, that you need to be able to make sure you can get all the way through to hopefully the last stage of the tournament.
You mentioned the evolution of T20, and I think there are moments where the shortest form of the game can appear the most highly tactical. What is the coach's role in T20 cricket right now?
I think it's a mixture, really. I mean, I think a lot of it is to tap into the knowledge that's in the players, because the players are playing it. They know an awful lot about the actual skills needed. But in the world of analysis and matchups and all the things, then the coach's job, along with those players, is try and make sure it stays simple. It's simple in their heads. The game's still got a feel to it. You've still got to use, at times, your gut of what you feel and play the situation and be able to actually get out there and react to something. So, yes, analysis is good. It gives us different bits of information, but also if it's done badly, it can overcomplicate and it can stifle players. So I think the important thing here is that whatever style of way of playing and what we're going about, that we get it simple in our heads and we go out and we have a red up go at doing that and putting sides under pressure, because T20 can put any player under pressure really quickly, and that's part of the fun of the game.
Yeah. So how much does it appeal to you, Peter? Obviously, you've coached national teams in test cricket, white ball cricket, and then this has sprung up around the world as franchise cricket. What about it is attractive to you?
I love all cricket, if I'm honest. I'd happily say I'm a bit of a badger on the cricket front. I love it, to be fair, it's in my blood. So I love 2020 because it's a different sort. It happens quick. You make a mistake, it feels like it gets highlighted against the 4-day stuff or the test match stuff, which really becomes very, very sort of a battle of will sometimes. You go through different phases. T20, it's a decision maker's game, T20. You've got to be bold in your decision making, I think, at times. You've got to be clear about what you're going to do, especially under pressure. And it has a place for specialists, really, for those, you know, those bowlers that can close games out. Confidence and momentum play a huge role in it. So you build that through your tournament, through your practice, I think, and through how you go about it. And there's no doubt the Big Bash has been a pretty long tournament, so you've got to be able to keep your enthusiasm and your drive all the way through if you want to get through to those finals.
Peter, the summer of cricket in England, for any cricket lover, be it in your part of the world at the moment or on our side of the world, is what is the sense of anticipation as we look towards this Ashes series and the dynamic that has taken over English cricket with Bazball and the ultimate test of this competition that we love so much?
I think probably the same as Australia. We can't wait in some ways, because I think it's going to be... it sort of feels like the perfect matchup, doesn't it? Sort of England trying to play this very aggressive style of batting and going about it against arguably the best bowling attack in world cricket in Australia at the moment, who've got this pace attack, who are going to really challenge those batters to be able to play in the style that they want to play because of the quality of them. And I think it's going to be dictated to by confidence. I think the pitches that are played on the Duke ball makes another angle to it. So I think anybody who's involved in the game is going to be sat there ready for that first ball to come down, thinking it's going to be a really interesting series. And, you know, tough one to predict, I think, but I think it's got all the hallmarks of one of those great series.
What a philosophical clash it is Bazball and that Australian pace attack. It feels like this is going to be a sporting referendum.
Well, it'll be fun, mate, because it'll, like I say, that like sport's always funny, isn't it? It throws up different things. And I think, you know, credit to Brendan and to Ben Stokes. They're not just really about standing there and belting it that when the opportunity comes. But, you know, give England the due, there's some highly skilled batters in there who have already shown on different surfaces that they can adapt the games quickly. And they're looking for opportunities now to take the game to the opposition. And I think that's a great thing to do in any game. I'm sure Australia will come with the same mindset that they want to do to try and put a mark down on England quickly. So that set it up perfectly for a great series.
It really is. Peter, enjoy the summer over there. I look forward to seeing you as the Melbourne Stars coach here, and I'm sure we'll have many conversations in the future.
Thanks, Jared. Look forward to it.
Peter Moore's bound for the Big Bash League.